Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Welcome to Those Forking Fangirls, where we talk all things book, nerdy book, TV, movie, pop culture, fandoms, and how they integrate into our adult lives. I'm Christine.
And I'm Natasha.
And today we are so excited to be talking all things Onyx Storm by Rebecca Yarros. And we have special guests from the Fantasy Fangirls podcast, Lexi and Nicole, experts in the field.
Oh, I thank you.
Thank you.
I really feel like I only earned that title after my 4th reread of this book, but thank you very much.
4 times, that's a lot.
It's more than that now. I can't even tell you.
Oh my God. But we're so excited to have you guys on. Before we dive in today, can you tell us a little bit about who you are, where you're from, your favorite fandoms, and why you picked up Fourth Wing for the first time?
Yeah, what lured you to it?
Lexi and Nicole. Oh, I was going to say, maybe you start. Well, let me, actually, okay, I'll start. Yeah. So my name is Lexi. I am the older sister and like the fantasy lore nerd between Nicole and I here at Fantasy Fangirls. And let's see, my favorite fandom is like what really started it all, what I'm really rooted in is Harry Potter. I think a lot of us can relate to that there. And then I have always just loved reading, but of course, being an adult, becoming a mom, career, all of that, I got away from that. And I always have loved like, you know, Game of Thrones, when all of that was kind of coming out and like all the theories and things like that, when the content creators, especially on YouTube, were producing that, I would eat up all of it. Like, I love that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then Nicole introduced me to ACOTAR. In fact, she was like, you gotta read this book, ACOTAR.
You're very kind right now. I forced her, like the little sister I am. I gave her no choice.
And like, I'm literally like Googling, you know, like ACOTAR, and it's like, Nicole, this book doesn't exist. Or not Google, but like in like the search for the, in like Libby sort of thing.
ACOTAR.
And she's like, it's not what it's a Court of Thorns and Roses. And I'm like, how am I supposed to know that?
AKA. Yeah, right?
And so then after I completely devoured ACOTAR, she was already onto Fourth Wing at that point. And so then she's like, okay, now Fourth Wing. And I started reading it. It actually took me a little while to get into because I was like, no, I just want to go back to Perithian. I want my Bat Boys. And then Threshing happened. And then I was absolutely sold on it.
Man, it took till Threshing.
It did.
It was literally like just coming off the ACOTAR hangover. And my brain wasn't ready yet. And then, of course,
Morning period still.
Yeah. Right.
I gave her no morning period. I was like, and here's your next one.
Exactly. And so it's so funny because actually with Fantasy Fangirls, we were going to start our podcast with ACOTAR. We recorded 2 ACOTAR episodes. And then after I finished Fourth Wing, I was like, Nicole, I'm obsessed now. We have to do this instead. And she's like, are you kidding me? And we did it. So it all worked out.
It worked out. The best. Thank goodness. My name's Nicole. I'm the younger sister and apparently the curator of making Lexi do things.
The instigator,
that's a good word for it. I am also the romantic at heart between the two of us. And Lexi was definitely the reader growing up. Like, she was really into Harry Potter. And me being the little sister, I was like, I want to be like my big sister. So I would pretend to read Harry Potter. But I like just didn't, I couldn't get into the books because reading was just really hard for me. And then I figured out audiobooks in my later years, if you call it, and just was mainly listening to a lot of nonfiction. A lot of nonfiction, like most of us do in our early 20s, where we're like, I'm going to better myself with self-help. The irony is that I then pick up on Percy Jackson. I'm so glad for you all. You saved a lot of years. It was so fun. I do love still that genre. I haven't picked it up in over a year and a half, though, because then I picked up ACOTAR, and I was like, every single thing I've wanted in my life that I was trying to search for in these other books, I found in this one. Yeah. And so then I forced Lexi to read it, and I was like never a deep diver. I tried to be, and I just couldn't really get my mind around it because I just didn't honestly think that I had the skill set for it. And then Lexi and I started Fantasy Fangirls, and now it's like reading books is just like, it's so fun because you're devouring all these little hidden gems and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I read ACOTAR. I reread ACOTAR. I'm a big rereader. I like to binge books a lot over and over. Mm-hmm. And then I moved on to Fourth Wing because everyone on TikTok was like, this gold cover book that it's, what did they say? It's Harry Potter meets How to Train Your Dragon meets Game of Thrones. And I said, Divergent. Yes, that's another one. And I said, say less. So I started reading it and never looked back. Here we are.
Beautiful.
A year and a half later.
And you guys like recently moderated for Rebecca.
We did. Yes, in Denver, which was an out-of-body experience.
I was just going to say that. It was really, we were so honored. It was, I'll call it a long time coming because, gosh, we had been trying to get an interview for over a year. Like we had a good relationship with their publicist, and we had actually reached out back in October when we secured our tickets. You know, like it was like harder to get than Taylor Swift tickets, right? And we were able to get some. Even Rebecca reached out to us and was like, I'm so glad that you got some. I was really worried for you, but I'm so glad that you'll be there, especially like in the third row. And so anyway, so we were talking to our publicist and said, you know, like if there's anything we can do at the event, you know, we know that there's gonna be some activities beforehand. We'd love to do some of that, you know, host some trivia or, you know, something fun like that. And then she said, oh, that's great. We're not quite there with planning yet. And then we didn't hear anything for a while, you know, with the holidays and all that. And then in early January, she reached out and was like, hey, so sorry for the delay. Would you like to moderate? And we were like,
what?
That's amazing.
So yeah, and it was just absolutely incredible. She is just so wonderful, so sweet. We were really so excited to be able to hang out with her backstage for a while beforehand, and it was so much fun, like with our questions, because it was like trying to make it, because it was about 2 weeks after Onyx Storm came out, so it's like you gotta balance some spoilers to really,
like, not too many
exactly, but nothing like too crazy for people in the audience, like who hadn't finished gotten to that part yet, being like, what that, like for it to spoil the ending of the book. So it was like really fun and tricky to navigate all of that, but it was just so great, so much fun. So.
So cool. Well, congrats. That was amazing. When I saw that, I was like, oh my God!
Thank you so much. Yeah, we were like that too.
I literally fell out of my chair when we got that email. And then we immediately called our executive producer and we said, book a flight, my guy. You're coming over here.
Okay, so what dragons are y'all riding? And what are your signets? We just did an episode where we like went through the war college step by step. Natasha. Yes. What were you riding again?
I was riding a blue dragon because I felt like Sigale and I have like the same vibe.
Yeah. And she walked through walls, I think.
Ooh. Me? Oh, that was, yes. Yeah. I walked through walls. I was like Kitty from X-Men.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, wait. So we know that signets manifest because who we are and what we need.
Yes.
What in you, Natasha, is a wall walker? Walk-thruer? we'll workshop the name.
Wait, what did I say? Christine, do you remember what I said about why that manifested that way?
I think you said something about like taking up space and like how you want to be able to like move through it.
Yes, because in my life, I've always like taken up more space than most people, and I want to be able to infiltrate all spaces. So I think that was why.
I love that. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think I was riding a green dragon, Ravenclaw, and I could jump really high.
Oh, my God.
All right, same question.
That.
Why? Why?
I really
was yours like prophetic? I can't even remember.
Or is it you just live on the second story and you just really hate stairs?
Like, that'd be fantastic with groceries, you know?
Right?
I can like levitate for short periods of time. So like I've always liked to jump.
Oh my God.
I like heights a lot.
and I like flying. And I, that's basically like the yearning to be a bird.
I like how it's not flying though. Well, I guess you have a dragon, so then you're flying with the dragon. Yeah. Okay, okay.
Yeah,
but I can vibe with this. Yeah.
For a second, I can fly.
That would be really awesome to be able to jump onto your dragon. Like, think of the maneuvers you could do with that. Yes.
Yes.
And Gauntlet Who?
Yeah, right. Gauntlet Who? Yeah.
Yeah. Basically Spider-Man, but like hopping.
Last week we did a like D&D run through like ACOTAR as if we're Tamlin, and Christine's like, okay, what's gonna be like your beast mode? And she's like, I'm gonna be an ostrich.
Yeah, because I like dinosaurs.
This bird thing is just keep running through like the theme. I didn't realize birds were so important to you.
My Patronus is an osprey.
Nicole's is a stout,
which we didn't know what that was.
Excuse me, a stout.
What's a stout?
What the heck is
okay,
a stout?
Okay, we also asked that question, Christine, is what the hell is this? And I immediately Googled it, and it's like it's a medium to large rodent that searches every single burrow for food and likes to jump off. No. Jumps off cliffs is a different one, but it likes to search for food in every single huddle. And I'm like, well, I feel very seen right now. Okay, cool. But yes, a stout is my Patronus, according to Pottermore. So.
Nice. Oh my.
All right. So,
what are your signets and dragons?
All right, Nicole, let's you go first.
Oh, okay. apparently, we just really wanted to throw each other onto the spotlight first today. I would have a black dragon. I'd have a club tail specifically because I like to wapow, and I don't want to like have close quarters fighting. I'm a far away fighter. Like if I had a weapon, I'd be a bow and arrow person.
Same.
And which I definitely showed that skill at Romantasy Book Con. We had a bow and arrow set up in our meet and greet room one morning, and I was like, oh, this is fun, and bullseye right on the spot. And I was like, yes. Ooh. So
nice. Are you good at bowling?
No. Horrendous. So yeah, black dragon will pow people out of the sky with a club tail. My signet, we've gone back and forth because I've said my signet would Lexi when it was like way early when we started the show. We were talking about Kaori's signet of being able to project. And I'm like, you know what? For the job we have, especially to be able to project what's happening in my mind would be so easy. But then I was also like, what if I had the ability to like take whatever is in my mind and like put it on paper? That would make my life so much easier. Like, I really want to write a book.
As your
and that's
business
like,
partner, that would make my life really easy.
I know.
Right? Can you have that signet?
I know. I kind of want that signet. So I wish I had the ability to take whatever was in my mind and put it into words on paper. That when I think about who I am and what I need, I'm definitely someone who needs more time back from outlining all of my life away. So that's a big one, I'd say. What about you, Lex?
So I would have a green dagger tail. In fact, Nicole and I even have. Oh shoot, I'm hiding it right now. But
you guys know the tails. I'm like, what?
I know.
We have tattoos of them too.
Yes, we do.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
And so I would have a green. I love like kind of like the more intelligent, the reasonable dragons. I feel like that would definitely be mine. And then for my signet, what it would probably have to be is summoning. I lose everything. And especially as a mom and just like as a little bit of a chaotic person, I need the things like to be summoned back to me. So I just love that signet so much. Although I'm leaning more and more towards distance walking now too, because I get really bad travel anxiety as well, and it's like, man, that would be really nice.
That would be so nice. Can you imagine being like, I really want like I want really good brie and bread, and being like, you know what, I could go to the store or I could go to France. Like, that would be so great.
But you can't go that far. There's restrictions. You'd fall in the ocean probably.
But if you hone your signet enough, I'm looking like long term.
25 to years Canada dumb. And then jumped.
Yes. Jumped to Iceland and then get to
have like your own like little route, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Find a ship that's going back and forth. I don't know. Do they even do that still?
I don't know.
They definitely, it's like the freights.
Like,
y'all's signets are so like work efficient. I just like, I can't, if I manifest my signet and it was projecting, I'd be like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. She can control the weather and I can make a projection.
I feel like I that threat really shares a lot about our work-life balance.
Yes, that's, I was just gonna say, that's like where our minds always are. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Well, before we move on to the main discussion, just so anyone here knows, spoilers are going to come for Onyx Storm.
We are jumping
in Iron Flame.
I mean, obviously, it's all implied all the rest will be spoiled as well.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
But before we do, we're going to take a second and thank everybody out there listening. We appreciate y'all so much. If you aren't already, we'd love it if you followed the podcast for free in your favorite podcast listening app, whether that be Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Pocket Cast, any of that jazz. It's easy. It's just click the follow button and you'll never miss an episode. We also have a visual version of the show on YouTube. Hello, everybody watching. And you can subscribe to the YouTube channel so you never miss a visual episode, youtube.com/@those4kingfangirls. And this show is a viewer-supported podcast. So we have a Patreon, and we love our community over there. We have lots of fun perks. And at the Team Jacob level, you get the show ad-free. You get to come to our recordings and be in the chat, be a part of the discussion. And you get our half an hour extra show after every episode, Fangirl Tea Time. So you have 110 episodes of that waiting for you when you join the Patreon. So
much lore to catch up on.
So much lore. The link to join the Patreon is in the show notes. Thank you all so much. If you decide to check it out, and there's two other tiers with lots of other fun perks. If you are a patron, we're about to go right in. If not, we will be right back after these messages.
And we're back.
Woo. Wanted to kick off our discussion here thinking in terms of Zayden, because in my head, Zayden is Basquiat's Jesus. He is the Jesus of Fourth Wing, and he sacrificed himself for them to live.
Sacrificial lamb.
And nobody cares except Violet. Okay.
Wait, Megan in the chat just said, I thought she said Satan. I also thought she said Bezgaya Satan.
How did they say Satan?
No, it's Jesus. Zayden. Because Zayden was his twin. Which killed me. That was amazing.
What? No, Jesus. He died for them. If you were Zayden and you were fighting at the end of this battle and you were like, I'm gonna die. If I die, everyone dies. Are you gonna turn yourself into a Venon to save them?
Yes.
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 That required so little thought in my brain. I probably should think of repercussions a little more.
I just think no. I'd probably do it for two reasons. One, I always think about like, okay, what's the greatest impact, right? And so by a quote-unquote sacrificing myself, it would then thus turn into the greater impact. But then I'd also have in my mind the curiosity of like, what would it be like?
It's like doing drugs.
That's my line, Nicole.
I'm just gonna stay a little quiet.
Good old college days. Anyway, so I would go Venon to save my loved ones. And I also like to think it's like, well, just because we don't know that there's a cure doesn't mean that it'd be like one of those things where it's like, might as well stick around just to see what happens, right?
Science.
Yeah, exactly.
My curiosity is high on that list. Oh my god.
Yeah.
What about you two?
Natasha, what would you do?
I mean, to save my loved ones, yes, probably. It's so complicated, though, I think, with Zayden and like all the bonds and the dragons and all that. So it's just like he obviously had to make like a split second decision at the very end there because he was put into a situation where like, you know, he couldn't really have a choice. So, I mean, probably. Also, I was just thinking about, I don't know if you guys are church girlies, but I think he... You know, like when Jesus sacrifices himself, like the whole like sky turns and there's storms and all of that. Like that is essentially exactly what happened with Zayden too. So I just wanted to
kind of put that
out because Mama died too, and she controlled the skies. Yeah. That was so sad. I think I would end up turning too, because it's just a matter of like, there's no other option at that point. Just like at the end, there's no other option because they were losing. Everyone was going to die. Like, their world as they know it is going to be over if Zayden doesn't sacrifice himself and say, fuck it, I guess I'm going Aslam. What is it? Aelum? I am Aesum?
Aesum. Aesum. Yes.
Well, and so it's so interesting because the reason that he turns is because it's essentially to save Violet.
Love.
Because exactly. Yeah. And because otherwise Berwyn would have, if he killed him, then he would have gone after Violet. And for Zayden, it's like, I will do anything to stop that from happening. While
But then in book three with Onyx Storm, then it's suddenly, I will do anything to save Sigale. And I love how in the two different books, it's one, he turns for Violet, but he goes further down the path to save Sigale. So I do love that. I do have a question for us, the follow-up question. Would, knowing what happens at the end of Onyx Storm, would you regret turning then in?
I feel like at that point, he would just be like, say he wasn't Venon at that point. He would probably turn Venon then to save everybody.
That's true. Yep.
It was like bound to happen in this situation because they're outnumbered, outmanned, outgunned, outplanned.
Oh,
like,
okay, Hamilton!
They don't have the means to win. Like, some of their people have to go bad in order to win this war. And no one knows anything about Venon. So now he can infiltrate the system. Like, I'm excited for that. I hope we go infiltrate their society and figure out what the fuck's going on over there.
That's exactly what I'm hoping for.
Yeah.
My initial, like, first thought was when we were being introduced to Theophany was like, I was like, is she actually full bad? Like, because she's offering this kind of information that we need.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, all we think about, like, you know, it's black or white over there, right? There's like, but what if it's more gray than we thought?
Because we don't know.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. It's so funny. Like, because at first it's like, oh, like, she is interesting. And then we call her the evil villain bestie.
Yeah.
So it's just like,
love her. Love Theophany.
Silver haired queen.
Yes. Silver haired queen.
Well, as far as we know, Venom, right? If they go full Venom, then they lose their soul.
It's like a little, like, every single time that they channel, it's them bargaining and like losing a little bit of their soul. And to the extent, like, you know, like how it's like magic likes all things in balance. So when they pull from the source, that is the exchange. I don't know any more of how that works or anything like that. But especially when you think about how there might be a cure. Like, I know we can talk about this later on, but it's just like, I like the idea of, I'll call it almost like a Voldemort Horcrux thing where you can actually, what is it called?
I keep on being like, reverse.
where it is like, you know, like, as long as you have remorse and all of that. And so, like, I kind of wonder if we're going to go down something along those lines.
Like, because we see him, you know, those little like snippets of things where he's like kind of pulling like the threads back to Violet in that point. Like, does he still have that love for her? Like, is that still him inside? Yes.
Yeah.
I feel like the love that he died for love, like, created a bubble around his soul.
Yeah. No, I agree. I maybe put it in different words, but yes. Like, because when Violet says, I love you at the very end, it's almost like this, like, outpouring of giving his soul, giving, but like trading his soul away, suddenly halts. And it's almost like this like, if we're looking at like a pie chart, it's like this little teeny tiny sliver is still in there, which is why I think next book,
like the Grinch.
It's like the Grinch. Yes.
And it can grow.
And hopefully
I'm to full size.
I might be jumping ahead a little bit here, but I don't think Zayden's actually ever going to be cured. I think it's going to end with Zayden. It's almost like learning. I'm so sorry. But it's happy, I promise. At least in my mind. I'm not Rebecca Yarros.
You go together. So funny. When people are like, oh, like, what do you know? It's like, we're not
nothing.
That cool.
I'm Jon Snow. I know nothing. But I really do see it almost like, because we bring this into the show a lot, where it's almost equating veganism to an addiction. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's never being cured from the addiction. It's learning how to live with the addiction. Yeah. And what I see is it comes back to him really getting that control over the addiction. This is so not the same thing, but I think about the end of Hunger Games and how PETA and Katniss are still having these horrific dreams, but they've just learned to live through them.
Yeah.
And so I think the of trauma. That kind of yeah. learn to live through their trauma a little bit. And I see that being the ending. It's still happy, yeah, but he's just not cured.
But what about the magic?
Yeah, the magic will the still magic. Be there. It's just not in Zayden anymore.
No, I don't want that to happen.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bring a nerum.
Okay, it's okay. Don't get Nicole started about what dragons die either.
Oh, no.
All right, wait. Let's start. Let's go into the end before we get to the cure, because I feel like we're going to go off on that because I really want to talk about the cure too. Okay.
Paint me a picture. The end of Onyx Storm, we go to Violet and she's like, oh my God, what happened? And they're like, it's been 12 hours. Where have you been? And she's like, oh my God, am I married? Like, and Zayden's like, don't look for me. I'm gone. Like, what?
That was a perfect rendition. Thank you.
Nicole, you need a guest. I know, a guest, bunch of guests for your battle brief. Yes.
Yes. What do you want to have happened in those 12 hours?
Also, have you guys, we intentionally did not listen to your Onyx Storm breakdown, but have you gone through this yet on your show?
No. Not yet, because we haven't gotten to the deep dive for the last episode or the last chapters yet. So this is actually really fun because we're not going to be talking about this for like 4 more weeks.
Yeah, exactly. I'm really excited. Awesome. All right. So the question is, what do we want to have happen?
That's the key word in your perfect picture of what happened. 12 hours of sex.
No, that's my want. Yes, Natasha.
That's going to end very sore.
I don't know. They got a lot of experience on the dragons. And like, can you imagine 24 hours with your thighs like that? Like,
when she's like, I got off a 20-hour ride, I'm like, how are you alive?
Yes. She at least has a saddle to like strap her in, mm-hmm, so she can relax the leg muscles a little bit. But like, think of like Zayden or Imogen. They are just like gripping on for dear life.
Ridiculous to think that saddles aren't like commonplace. Natasha was talking about this on our basket episode. Like, why aren't they just on everybody?
Yes. Agreed.
They should be now. Okay, what do I want to have happened is the wedding to be like this beautiful but in an intimate setting and like in an emotional way, despite the circumstances that it is still very
I want it to be like a dragon themed wedding. Okay, sorry.
I guess I kind of think about like a courthouse wedding, but it's still like very intimate and nice and all of that, where it's just like wonderful, despite the circumstances, like I said. And mm-hmm, Zayden to be in his right mind the whole time. And mm-hmm, and he and Violet make a plan to keep mm-hmm Tyrandor safe and to save the continent. So it's like, okay, this bad thing happened, but we're going to keep looking for the solutions. We're going to figure out a way to pay forward versus, I'll call it, giving up mm-hmm on his part, and for her to still vow to find a cure for him, and for him to like kind of quietly let her believe that, even though he's might have given up all hope for himself, because that's just Zayden. And for them to recognize him as part of that plan for them moving forward is for him to recognize, or like in the dream walking, for that they can be like, mm-hmm, okay, we'll still communicate, we can still find each other in our dreams. Yep. I am totally disregarding the fact that he left a note saying don't come looking for me, but like, it's like he gives her a crash course,
Edward Cullen of him. Right. Shut the fuck up, Zayden. We're coming.
Yeah, especially Rebecca even said, like, for the book 4 playlist, one of the songs is But Daddy I Can Fix Him, right?
Daddy I Love Him.
But Daddy, I Love Him. And then
I Can Fix Him.
That's what it was. Yes. Yes. Yep. Yes. And like, he like gives her a crash course in intrinsic mind seeking, so to speak. Like, not unlike what he taught her with the shadows. And I also, when you look at it with the dead riders and the dragons and the elders and how things look really, really bad, we're going to pretend like Berwyn came in searching for Zayden and like all hell broke loose.
Who is
loose.
Berwyn?
He's the sage. He's the sage who is.
Sage that's been in the dreams.
Yes, yes, and he is Zayden's sage.
B-U-R?
Mm-hmm. B-E-R-W-Y-N. Yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. I was thinking like Gerwin or something in my head.
I like that too. Yeah. Yeah.
And so he, because he and Zayden have like a really weird bond now, because he is Zayden's sage, his mentor now, so to speak. And so then like there's some kind of big crazy thing, and that is how the other dragons and riders and elders die. And in the chaos, Garrick is the one who takes the six missing eggs back. Takes the six missing eggs, and he takes them to Umbriel to then get an army. And basically, all in all, Zayden is innocent of killing the riders and dragons, because that's a really tough look.
Okay, I agree with you. And I actually,
what riders and dragons?
So at the very end, there are four elders.
Four dragons and their riders have been killed, and three elders have been killed. Three elder dragons have been
Why
killed.
Why do we think it's Zayden?
Because everyone thinks it's Zayden. They're like, because when he did the huge shadow,
explosion.
That's when they think a lot of them died, and then there's the 12 missing
hours. No, because they know that happened in the last few hours.
You're right.
So and Zayden is missing. Garrick is missing. So they think that they are responsible for it.
Accomplices.
And Violet has been missing until just now.
Wasn't Garrick with Imogen?
Mm-mm.
That was right before.
That was in her her POV chapter. In Imogen's POV chapter, Garrick's with her. But then at the very end, she's like,
during the 12 hours.
Yeah, and then 12 hours later.
Brennan's like, he's gone. He's gone. Okay, Lex, you and I have the exact same want until you get to him teaching her. That's when I want them to go off and have the best married sex they've ever had in their entire life. But yes. I really,
Zayden's gonna be like,
I want him to use all that new power, all that new energy in the best way possible in bed, my guy. The big thing I do want to add to what I agree with you on is they are a team in every decision, in every conversation. They are making these decisions together as that team, because in Onyx Storm, we really got to see them work as a team.
And it was great.
And it was great, because especially in, I'll say like specifically the first half of Iron Flame, they weren't a team, and it was a big frustration for a lot of readers. I felt like it was really true to the characters in that moment. But now we've seen them progress into that. We are united. And so that's what I hope. And I'm honestly very worried that that's not how it was in those 12 hours. But that's not my want. We're in want territory.
I want to know like that first interaction between Zayden and Violet when they meet and he's like full venom.
Like, I feel like he would just apologize.
I don't know. I feel like there's like a little bit of him that's like not the same. So like them working as a team, yes, but also him also leaving the note to say like, don't find me. It feels very like, Edward leaving in New Moon, like he's making the decisions for her kind of, and like a little bit reverted back. But also they would have had to come to the conclusion that, yes, we got to get married. Yes, we got to save this. So, what were those conversations like? That's what I want to know. Do you think we'll see it?
I do.
Yes.
I think we will too. I hope that's how we open, honestly. I want to see those 12 hours.
So it's so funny because I've been thinking, you know, Imogen took those memories away from her. And
can she give them back?
Can Dane retrieve them?
But I don't think Dane can retrieve anything that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Because it's almost like,
he can see inside.
So I think that she's going to see the dreams from Zayden's POV when she's dreamwalking in his dreams.
But then we have to remember what Rebecca told us is, because we were talking about that with her and she teased, well, they were not the only ones there. So it could be like Imogen who ends up, I don't think Imogen would necessarily tell her the whole thing, but she might give her like little bits and pieces. But there are other people who could have been present there who tell
honestly,
her.
I wonder if Imogen does have the power to give memories back, if she could take them, though, if she's honed her signet enough. We never, like, she doesn't talk about if she wiping them or taking the memories and like what that consists of. And that signet feels like it could have more to it, just like all the other ones that we haven't expanded to. So that's interesting.
Also, is it Violet's choice for the memories to be taken away so that she doesn't feel the
she asked.
Mm-hmm. She asked.
She did ask, because Imogen's like, I did what you asked me to. And Violet's like, guffaw. But we can assume that's what Imogen, that's true. Katie in the chat says, according to Imogen. So that's true. But what I see happening is Violet was just so heartbroken in what's going on.
See, that's so interesting. I think that it's a bit of a twofold, where the first and foremost reason that she had that she did that, had her memories wiped, was to protect Zayden, because and Zayden do have some kind of plan together. She does
she
know where he's going.
Plan.
Well, there's probably a plan for her to remember the plan. This is the thing. She has a plan for when she needs to know the plan, and she'll be able to. Maybe Imogen knows when first she should know, or like in the dreams she'll find out from Zayden when she should know, like based on something. Like, but she has a plan. She doesn't do things without having
right?
like 10
yeah.
Knowing Violet, her number one irk is like she gets really irked whenever someone withholds information from her. Mm-hmm. So now it's like she is withholding information from herself. Which is delicious storytelling. I'm so excited.
Well, maybe she wrote all of the things she needs to know down in a journal, and then like Imogen has it, she'll give it to her when it's time. When the timing is correct.
But then why?
Just like her daddy.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Oh, yeah. Okay. I have so many follow up questions, but I know we have many more questions.
I'm rereading it, and right now Onyx Storm, and I'm just like, I just stumbled across a little bit where they talk about how like their master, once they become Venom, like the deeper in, the master gets more control over them, like a sire, almost like a vampire who like the vampire's dad who made them a vampire, and how like they have to obey them.
Yes.
Pretty much. Don't like, yeah.
Don't like that idea. Because, and the Offany makes a point to say, if you work with Gerwin, like that he will take away your agency. So that fucking blows. I hope he's not working with him.
Part of me wonders if, because his intrinsic sickness has been honing more. So I have to wonder if
he can fight it.
Or like, can he use his signets against Berwyn, for instance, because of that weird bond that they do have? Like, he can't kill Berwyn.
Yeah.
So do you all think that he will end up killing Berwyn?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's got
to
be.
I'm just so curious about how, like, the hierarchy works over there. I want to.
Because there's obviously so many different factions, because, like, the Offany and they didn't like each
like,
other,
what's
right?
Is going that how on? That worked? So we actually asked Rebecca about this backstage, because we needed confirmation. We were like, because in Iron Flame, Berwyn mentions that he's a general.
Yep.
And we know that generals are mavens in the Venonism. And so from one of the epigraphs in Iron Flame. And one of the things that she said was that within the tiers of being a Venon, so maven, sage, asum, initiate, there's then different military rankings. So there is a general, but he can be a sage. And so one of the things that I feel like Onyx Storm really oofed in our faces was, there is so much more to the Venon plan than we can even comprehend. So going back to what you were saying earlier, Christine, is I really see next book Zayden being almost on the inside and knowing a lot more of this information now. But if Violet can then dream walk into his dreams, then it's almost like they're able to divulge information. I won't go too into any kind of spoilers or anything, but I like to think of like Day and Night from Crescent City 3. That's all I'll say. So I think of it very similarly.
Yeah. I don't know if you read Vampire Academy, but like Adrian and Rose. Okay.
Yeah, it's
and
very
Adrian
similar.
And Sydney. But like the thing is, right now, she only really goes into dreams of people she's like right next to, and she has gone into Zayden's from a little further away, but like how far? And she has to hone that and figure out how to do that.
And apparently there's only one person who can teach her. But Rebecca didn't say who.
Oh.
So we're like,
so it's like, Zayden? Is it Zayden Berwyn? Who can teach her? Or is it Berwyn? Because he seems like he's able to be a dreamwalker too.
Oh.
Or is it Dane, who is apparently more powerful than any of us know after what Sloane said? And he, you know, is an intrinsic in his own way with the memories.
Should we move on? Oh, did you say what you wanted to happen?
I just want a lot of sex.
Atta girl.
I want a lot of Venon and like Zayden Venon and Violet sex. Like, I want to know what that looks like. I want to know, like, you know, is he even more of a slut in that? I want all of that. And
more shadow bondage.
I want him. Good lord. I like, I don't know what this is. In me, I want him to use his shadows in different ways in the bedroom. Okay?
Thank you.
Like, that's come on.
Oh my God, yes.
They're there for a reason. Let's use them, please.
He started it this book, but we have two more books. So let's just hope his creativity goes up a little.
I want her to have also gone venom, but like they're to work together to get the cure out of there, like for the purpose, like with a plan to infiltrate society. Because I don't, okay, Theophany straight up says, I have the answers you want, and she doesn't think to herself she has the cure. I'm just like, what? Why wouldn't you? Why?
Because Nicole and I have talked about that. Like, what are the answers that she has? And I am absolutely convinced that it is her dangling the carrot in front of her about, like, you know, like the answer is the cure. Now,
and she
whether
knows about Irids.
Exactly.
She knows the cure.
And then she died.
She wants the Irid because she knows that they could be cured, or they could take away the powers, or they could defeat them with the fucking Irid. Okay, that's what she's. The trap is about.
So on my most recent reread, there's this one line from Violet where, as the like slide whistle is happening in her head, which is just such a delicious bit of world building. Violet,
wait, remind me of the slide. What does that mean?
So whenever the Irids go infiltrate anyone's head, they use a slide whistle almost as they're like knock knock, and the slide whistle happens, and Violet thinks to herself, "That's odd. It feels oddly similar to the serum we were given in RSC." And I'm just like, mother of pearl, what does that mean? So I wonder, and Lexi, you and I kind of talked about this with RSC last book, was like, if the serum is the suppressor of venenism, is there a different cocktail of the serum that uses the Irids and that uses something from the Irids, whether it's dragon eggshells or something like that, which are super powerful with magic, that can cure venom? I don't think it's that black and white, but I think there's a lot more to it. But I don't know. I'd be curious.
Yeah.
All right. I went on such a tangent there.
No. Let's shift to Andarna, because I feel like we're going in the direction of the Irids here. Yes. All right. Now, and Andarna has this journey to like wants to find more about her family in this book. And we want the Irids to tell us how to defeat the Venon. And they end up being big assholes who are no help. And then we get to this battle, and Andarna is helping win the battle. And the horn guy comes and he's just like, leave with me. I'll teach you about family. And she's like, but I love everybody here. And he's like, who cares? You can come back. And she just fucking goes. I was hurt to my core. Would you have left if you were Andarna?
You know what? I would probably go because there is so much, I'll call it like untapped magic. Like she knows that there is something so much more for her that could relate back to the Venon. So if I was her, I would probably go because it would be, I'll call it for the greater good, when it is like being able to learn more about my kind, that then I would want to go back and bring that to my family and all of to my found family, I'll call it. But then I don't know, like I'm convinced that the reason that she came back was I don't think that she even made it to the den. Yeah. I don't think that there's enough time, especially with her wing and all of that. So I wonder if they were on their way and one of two things happened. One is that she somehow felt Violet use her second signet with that dreamwalking, even though their bond was broken. And she realized, oh my gosh, like it is like what Violet and I have is so much more than what was broken here. And so then she knew that she had to go back to Violet because Violet needed her, or she saw something with the Venon, or like where it was like, oh my God, like I cannot leave. Like I am needed here on their way over. And then that's why she had to come back to help out and knew that that's where she was needed more in the moment.
Do you think that perhaps she learned something? I feel like
Character development, I like to think so, just from a story building perspective.
Like it had to be, like there had to be a reason for her to leave.
That she thought they needed to know immediately.
Well, because in the first chapter, or it's actually even in the prologue of Onyx Storm, she mentions, magic feels differently when I change color. And then it's just never mentioned for the next 600 pages, which is mind-blowing. So I'm hoping for my sanity. gonna be. There is some kind of knowledge bracket that she stepped into the next level of for next book. I personally think the Irids are with them in Aurasia at the very end, so maybe there's some reintegration and of the Irids being with the other seven dragon dens, maybe with her being.
You think
able
more
to,
of them came with Horn Guy?
Not with Horn Guy, or maybe possibly because we do know that he was watching. Lexi calls him Leonard. His name is Leofen. Leofen was watching them for a few days, and they didn't know because they can blend into the shadows, right? And so I'm assuming that there were more than just Leonard / Leofen. But then at the very end, Andarna is back at the end of the 12 hours, and we see something move in the corner. And I'm personally convinced that that is more of the Irids that are chilling with them in Aurasia, and there's going to be some kind of...
I was just going to say, a lot of people do think that the shadow is Zayden.
Yeah, true.
But the reason in particular that you were thinking that, Nicole, because I remember when you said that on our reactions episode, and I was like, whoa, where did you get this from? It's because Andarna does say something along the lines of, I won't let them burn you.
Yeah.
And Violet is so confused. And so it's like, I was just under the impression that she was like, everybody there thinks that she was partly responsible for all the shit that went down, and that everybody here might want her dead. And Nicole's like, no, I think that it might be Andarna saying that about the Irids, about Violet. And I'm still not convinced.
I'm convinced. I'm on this train. I will plant a flag.
Wait, so do you think it's because she turned venom and they want to burn her because of that?
No. I think it's because at the very end, like, because remember, Leonard / Leothan is very much like, you have given this hoodlum something terrible and you shouldn't be doing this. And so he's really not about Violet. And so I'm assuming that extends to the rest of the Irids, thinking that Violet is kind of a disgrace and that she's really tainted their ears.
They left a child on a mountain to save the world alone
without
preaching to the choir.
instruction. Yeah,
at the end of everything, do you think like the Irids are gonna get what they want, you know, like peace for all? Like,
no,
don't use
impossible.
violence.
I feel like the thing is that worldview is like not very accessible. It's unrealistic to think in those grand terms.
I mean, if they're selfish enough, obviously they're taking themselves away from the equation.
Yeah. One of the lines that really stood out to me that Andarna told them was, I'm paraphrasing here, but it was, you know, like, you want peace because you've only ever known privilege. Mm-hmm. And then similarly, Riddick says something that's like, oh yeah, like they're just saying we need to solve the problem of like the age-old problem of everybody killing each other kind of thing. And I think that both of those are it's like such bigger themes, and I'm really excited to explore that more. And I wonder if maybe they're not going to, like, I'll call it, integrate back into the continent, because I don't really see that happening. But I do see there being almost like an alliance or like an understanding between them and the others. And that's that, where it's like, okay, we live our lives and you live yours, and when we need each other, we'll send a text message kind of thing.
SOS. They just projected like a utopian society, and when you have a utopian society, you think there are no issues because you know, like, you don't know what you don't know from history. When I feel the utopian society like erases history, like, and then you learn things, and then it's just, we've read enough books like that. There's always a big issue.
I do feel like they've learned from the let's bury history and pretend like it doesn't exist, at least like when, because one of the big themes I think of in Empyrean is the younger generation is the courageous, where we will rise above our past and we will embrace our future. And
we will.
And I think that really is going to reflect in whatever happens at the end of book five. I don't know if I'm going to say that the Irids are going to get their way. I think there's going to be a lot of sacrifice and compromise, but I think that there's going to be personally, I could see, honestly, a lot of the dragons going to just Feathertales, and the next generation of dragons is only Feathertales going forward. But I don't know. That's I'm still cooking on that thought. So it's in the slow cooker. Yeah. It's in my crock pot.
I mean, I feel like Navarre's worldview was basically like, we're at peace, even though there was no peace, that they had the utopian worldview. So like, that's, and then if you expand it, there's always more. And so the Irids are being very naive in their thought that they can have that sort of
world happen from one of them existing in a place.
And it's like, too, with the Arishan wards, too, because Leothan did, you know, like, bring that forward for them. And it's like, okay, that's fantastic. Like, good for you for doing that. And he's always like, okay, great, that just solved all your problems. And he didn't quite say it that way, but you know what I mean. And and it's like, that's it. It's not that black and white. And it's almost like he does have almost like a Navarian viewpoint about that, where it's like I have peace because it's not my problem.
Yeah.
And it's not, that's not, and that's like so much of what Rebecca's doing. That's an overarching
theme here.
Exactly. Yeah. And so it's so cool how he is doing, how they are saying it in their own way against Navarre when they are their own mirror of Navarre in that kind of way. Yeah.
I can't wait to give Leothan all the L's when we get to that section. Like, homeboy is going to wear an L permanently on his forehead.
L's are losses. So
yeah, in our show,
L's are like capital L's or lowercase L's and things like that.
Oh, his capitalized, bold, italicized, underlined. I can't wait.
All right. Do you think Andarna will get a mate?
Oh,
I don't. Because Rebecca has said, like, because someone asked this actually in LA at was it the Grove or wherever she did
She's
her?
She's a Pepe.
She was like, she is a child. And I was like, that's a fair point. Like, do I want that to happen? Sure. Like, do I want her to date around like we do when we're teenagers? Of course. But do I think that's going to happen? No. I think Andarna's.
Because they're rare, right?
They're super rare. Yeah.
Really rare.
Well, and that goes, like, when we think about Taryn and Segael, I know that a popular theory right now is that their bond did break at the very end because Segael is going to go off with Zayden and Taryn is now with Violet. And that is one of the reasons that he's feeling like he needs to rest and all that. Mm. I'm more inclined to think that it would be Segael and Zayden breaking their bond because I don't see Taryn and Segael breaking their bond. We have the only other mated dragon pair that we know of is it Grime and
Maze.
Yeah. They are older and have been mated for even longer than Taryn Segael, and they can actually communicate with each other over long distances. And I swear that has got to be foreshadowing for what we will see between Taryn and Segael. So you know what? Maybe she did end up staying with Zayden, and they now are able to, like, they're leveling up in their mating bond. And so, because I feel like when you can communicate like that from long distances, you can be apart for longer times.
That's what I've gathered too. I love that you just equated their baning bond to a Pokemon. That was amazing.
True. Like,
all right, let's go into a different venue here. Let's talk about Arik. Okay. And I just wanted to, so he's manifested that so Raven powers. He can see the future.
This made me giggle last night.
This is like, oh man, you are our kind of people. Like all of the different millennial mentions in here.
That's amazing.
Okay, I want to know if your segment manifested as seeing random bits of the future. How would you feel it? How do you think you'd end up mainly using it other than helping people when you see bad things happen, like in your day to day? I feel like I'd be end up using it for like dating. So just like kind of just like match and start talking on Hinge and just see, like, see how this is going to go. And if he's not worth it, just like cut
save
it off
your time.
Absolutely. I feel like that would be a really great use of this. And if you know it's going to go well, you automatically are like, okay, this is worth my time. Like, let's do it.
See, for me, mine automatically goes to you. Oh, I would always know what's for dinner.
Oh my god!
I do anyway because I have the meal kit things that are delivered to my house. But yes, like in that way, yes.
I mean, can I use it for like traffic?
Yes. It's such a SoCal thing to say. Yes,
I know, right? So real. I like genuinely don't know. I'm like, I probably keep a really like incredibly detailed journal.
Ooh,
so
yes.
I could just like cross-reference, like if I have a big like plan or decision to make in life, or even just a small decision to make in life, I would like cross-reference with my like super anal journal, I guess.
Can I just say that would be the most analysis paralysis you would ever end up having in your life?
I know, on your day to day. That sounds like
that's
a big
so stressful. Like, honestly, that sounds more stressful than it does any other thing.
Well, this signet is stressful. You're going to have to worry about everyone that you see pop up in your head, like, however many times a day. Like, how often is he ravening? Like, how often is
he, like, wondered that so much. Out? And it's so interesting, too. Again, we had asked Rebecca, when did his signet manifest? And we asked her, and instead of asking the open-ended questions, we learned that you really got to hone in on what, how to ask her a question. And she said that it did manifest before Quest Squad. So his signet manifested very early on in Onyx Storm. She did say that it manifested after Iron Flame. So sometime in, like, probably the first
January to February.
In Onyx Storm. And so I'll be honest, I think that Arik is using his signet so well. Like, from the way that he, like, pulls someone out from the door, where it's like those kind of like little one-off situations, to the really big things. And oh my gosh,
you must, like, be at the temple.
Like, oh my god.
As soon as we saw that, it's like, oh my god, what, like, Arik?
And dude, can you just explain? Like, there's no need to be short here. Just give me a couple more sentences. This is ridiculous.
And so I'm so curious to see how we'll learn more about, if we learn more about it, because it's like, what, how does that work in your, like, how often does he see things?
Well, I think we'll definitely learn more about it, because I'm assuming we're going to get some kind of, he's going to see Halden do something stupid, like beyond stupid that we've seen Halden so far. And that is saying something. Like, next level basket bitch stupid. And I really see him needing to have that really tough decision of stepping in, of like, do I need to take my brother down? Do I need to, and like, that's some,
do I need to let him die?
Do I need to let, or do I need to kill him myself? Like, we're getting into Shakespearean level shit at that point. But like, I really see there being some family drama with his new signet.
Ooh, yeah. Or even like that, and then also something bad happening to someone who he does care very much about. Like, yes. Let's say that somebody in the squad, and or like, he has to let them die so that something bigger can happen.
Protect Kai and Lynx at all costs. I swear to God.
What about Rhi and Riddick?
Oh, they're fine. They're next year. I'm thinking in his own year.
Or like, because you know how like going back in time works, where like you change something and it changes like the whole future.
Yes.
Or, I mean, that's the different, you know, there's either the butterfly effect or there's the different timelines, right?
There's the different like telling the futures, where like they know the actual future, or like they know a future that could happen.
That could happen. Like, are we, is he Alice Cullen, you know?
Like,
is it just like an option,
room full of mirrors, you know? Like, are we looking for that sort of thing, or, you know, is he going to try to save someone who he thinks who is going to die, and how does that play out moving forward? Or is he going to let someone die because he's already seen past that?
All I know is that he better be her, meaning Violet's, closest advisor next book, because she needs a precog person in her side right now.
So real quickly there. So as we're talking, like, bringing it back to who the new brother is, the three top contenders are, of course, Bodhi and Garrick. But then Arik is also a very strong contender as well, because the idea is, even though he didn't personally know, like, or Violet doesn't know that he knows that Zayden is a Venon, he could have easily seen that Zayden is a Venon. And then Zayden, because he's an intensic, knew that Arik knew that he's a Venon. And all right, now
it's
we're
so
like,
Edward and Alice. Oh my and god.
So, and then he, and so then, so it could be Arik, because then at the very end of the book, the last time Arik is seen, he's flying south. And where is south? That is where Zayden ends up, south of the Cliffs of Draelor. So a lot of people do think that Arik might be the new brother, and that he foresaw that he needed to turn Venon in order to save everybody. Although somebody else at Romantic BookCon brought up with us, right? exactly. And then but somebody at Romantasy BookCon brought up to us that he could have been flying south to go get Andarna, because soon after he goes south, Andarna comes back. And it's like,
he could have foreseen that she was coming and he came to help her out, or something like that.
There's just like so many ways that could go with the precog situation. It almost creates more questions and issues than
you know. Rebecca's worth. Just like sitting in her office like laughing maniacally. Look at it
from like Melgren's perspective, the way that Melgren's battle signet works, or battle foresight, you know, which is just hilarious now, because that was such a badass signet, and all Arik comes in and it's like, oh yeah, like that's just like one tiny part of my signet, right?
Hold my beer.
And and so he was able to see signets, or excuse me, he's able to see battles and they might not happen or they might happen. And it all depends on, you know, how things end up happening. So the way I understand the precognition is he sees something and he can either stop it from happening or make sure that it happens, or I don't know.
Why do you think he's kept it secret too? Like, obviously,
is it because it's like, it's so rare. People are going to be wanting to use him.
And I also, or because he's royalty.
I think that Arik is so over being used. And that's one of the reasons he came to Biscayeth, is he's like, I want to take ownership over my life. And I see him keeping this a secret, A, because this is such a game-changing signet. I also could see maybe he foresaw something with people finding out and he's trying to delay that as long as possible.
Yeah.
Because I'm just going to throw this out there. A king with precognition is one powerful ass king, which I definitely think he's going
to
be king.
He does not want to be king.
And reluctantly, that's where I enters the chat.
Yes. I think that's the core of it, is that he came to Biscayeth to be a powerful writer, to just be a writer, because he did not want to be that leader. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to go off and ride his dragon and be a badass in that way. But with his signet, like, again, going back to Melgrin is the general of all armies, because I think at some point in Fourth Wing, they're like, you can't compete with that signet.
Yeah.
And here he comes in with a way more powerful signet than that, where it's like he's automatically going to be the leader, whether that is taking away like the royalty part of it, like he will be the leader. And he's like, I just
responsibility will be thrust
exactly.
upon
him. I just want to ride my dragon. Yes. Like, why did this have to happen? And I think that's why he's like delaying it as much as possible.
Let's
shift to Dane. I want us to run out of time before we hit on our stuff here. All right, Dane. Okay, well, first I want to just talk about Dane in general as a character here. So if you met Dane and you were at the mall and you guys were both online together and you recognized him, but he didn't know you. And then he hit on you as you were like buying your Wetzel pretzel. Okay. And he was like, do you want to go out sometime? Are you going to say yes? Like, from what you know about Dane, do you want to date him?
Yes. Oh, are we talking Onyx Storm Dane or Fourth Wing
Dane? Dane.
Yeah, Dane.
Okay, Onyx Storm Dane. It's the same Dane. Yeah. No, but that's the thing. That's the same Dane.
It's not.
Bit more of a character development.
Exactly. Right? Like, I want the Dane who's learned from his mistakes.
Dane, the Kale of Fourth Wing.
Yes, the Kale of Fourth Wing. Right? I don't know if I would want to date him, because with a quick Google search, he could find out very quickly what we've thought about him in the past. And he could sue us for libel.
Not really. But
so we had our reasons. We,
in Fourth Wing, we had an entire segment called God fucking damn it, Dan. Dane, there we go.
Damn.
And now it's changed to Golly Freaking Daddy Dane, because reasons.
I still think Dane is like, he's like the Jason of, I don't know if you guys know Percy Jackson, but like, he's just like always trying, but he kind of gets one-upped or knocked out, and he's just, he can never really pull through all the way.
That's kind of what I'm like. Out of all of the dragon riders, Dane is, I would put him in the friend zone. Like, great guy, like eyes on me, good stuff, but I would probably get pretty frustrated with him.
I go out with him because I think, actually, knowing my husband, him and I would actually do really well together. Like, Dane is not far off from my husband, because my husband is a very big rule follower. He, like, to the point of Fourth Wing Dane. Like, I'm not going to lie a little bit. And he's such a golden retriever. And I could see actually Dane and I working really well, which is so ironic considering I'm definitely the driver of the GFDD from Fourth Wing. But, I think I would actually say yes.
I would say yes for the plot, but then I'd be like, you're not going to believe what these dates would say.
That's when you text the group chat, you're like, guess your best girlfriend to group chat. And you're like, you wouldn't believe what just happened.
He tried to touch my face.
Yes. That's the one thing, he would never be allowed to touch my face, which would get a little complicated.
I need him to... he's such a rule follower, and like he tries, but he doesn't try enough, right?
Well, he tries, but he doesn't get there. I feel like his trying is just, it's not good enough.
And like, I need not good enough. I need someone who is like on the ground worshiping me, not someone else.
Have you read Spark of the Everflame? Because boy, do I have a boy for you. All right, I need you to read the Kindred's Curse Saga. Yes, it's Spark of the Everflame. That's all I'm going to say.
Is it that girl who has like side profile and it's like red around her? That one.
Oh,
okay.
Yes.
It's the slowest burn you'll ever read in your entire life, but good Lord, it's so worth it.
Okay, I love slow burn.
Oh my God, Natasha, I think I just introduced you to your new favorite series. Talk about a man who worships on his knees repeatedly.
Yes.
Do we think that Dane and Sloane were like hitting it and then he ghosted her and then she was like, I hate you, you're too powerful? Or like, what do we think happened there? Because I feel like there is some sexual tension for sure.
Definitely sexual tension. I don't think they've acted on it yet, though.
You don't?
No. I don't think so either. I think Rebecca, when we were like all talking about that, she pretty much confirmed like,
it was
backstage.
Like
that's going to happen. Yeah. So,
She did confirm that's going to happen, but I think
like something's happened. Like you don't get that comfortable with your wing leader without something happening.
I feel like there's been like some like long glances, because like even in Iron
long
Flame,
glance?
Like long glances, slow burn, Christine, slow burn.
Exchanged words.
Like, but like, so I do think that there's, because it is so funny because it is very history repeating itself, right? He is her wing leader. She is someone who has very complicated family relationships with her wing leader. He is like, train your signet, and she's like, I don't want to train my signet, which is very a la Zayden and Violet from Fourth
Maybe
Wing.
They've had some mat time together.
They might have had some mat time together, but not in the way you're
some unarmed.
I think it's more the sexual tension is there, but they just haven't acted on it yet.
Maybe there's been like an almost kiss moment like 5 times.
And then they slapped each other instead. That's what I see.
And then they were
I feel like they probably like see like a kinship, you know, like Dane's second best to Zayden and Sloane is, you know, living in the shadow of Liam, right? That's her brother's name.
Yeah, Liam.
Like, and it makes sense to me in that situation. But also like, Dane is the wing leader and she's like a little bit younger, so I feel like he hasn't acted on it because of the whole like rule following.
But Zayden and Violet had the same age.
Zayden
difference.
Had a
different perspective of rules.
Zayden was like, rules schmules.
I have a follow-up question then, because I was so shocked to hear that Nicole thought differently than me here. Do you think that Mira and Drake have already hooked up?
Wait, who's
I don't
Drake?
Think they've hooked up, because I think Mira is like in her like protective era where she is too busy worrying about everyone
else. Drake
is Kat's cousin. He's the person who received
he's
broccoli.
A flyer.
He's the one who got broccoli the cat, and he's a griffin flyer, and he's like a super badass griffin flyer. And he and Mira like are my favorite enemies to lovers.
Do you think that the compass is going to point to Venon, just like the compass and the Vampire Diaries points to vampires?
So the reason I'm against compass pointing to, I'm going to call it like the enemy and / or what your heart desires most, because I've seen both of
you
those
mean, like,
theories.
But
that's why is because the second we say, oh, it points to the enemy, or oh, it points to what your heart desires most, immediately there's another series that comes to mind. So it's kind of been there, done that. And if I've learned anything from Rebecca Yarros, she takes been there, done that, and then flips it on its head and slaps us in
Very
the face
true.
And we say thank you. And it just doesn't, I don't think
you
that's
think it
gonna
just
happen.
Leads to the cure. Right.
So I think it's going, I definitely think it's going to lead to something, but I think that like our thoughts that it'll lead to the Venon, or it'll lead to something very helpful for her, what her heart desires.
Her daddy.
Her dead
I still have crackpot theory. Daddy is alive. Daddy is Venon.
Daddy is Venom.
I'm so sorry to crush it, but Becca has confirmed that has not happened.
I don't believe her. I literally don't believe her. I think that she would never tell us if that was happening.
To be fair, Rebecca did confirm, or actually she denied a theory for us backstage, and my first words out of my mouth was, are you sure? And I was like,
no,
you created this world.
It doesn't matter what they say. If if the series isn't done, you don't know. They can never say yes or no if it's right. They can't ruin it.
That's true.
Because like, as Christine's an author, like you can write and outline all you want, but like things change, your characters make different choices along the way. And
also, like, we've seen this with Cassandra Clare. Like, we've been following the Shadow Under series so intensely for years. She has straight
up and asked things, and she has to say no because you can't say yes because it ruins stuff. Like, yeah. It spoils.
I mean, Christine, has someone asked you something and you've had to say no before?
I mean, my books aren't fantasy, but like, I will say no if I don't want to spoil something. Yeah, like, yeah.
Authors lie. It's part of it.
I will say, so we interviewed Callie Hart, who wrote Quicksilver a few days ago, and we were asking her all these questions about Brimstone book two, and she was like, no, I can't tell you. No,
she was like, why are you asking these questions? Like, you don't want me to tell you. I don't stop asking me to spoil the book for you.
Literally. I did a little video about this crackpot theory, and everyone was like, Rebecca said that's not true. And I was like, I don't care what Rebecca said. She can lie.
Fair enough.
That's fair.
Like, guys, come on. We have to take that with a grain of salt.
Oh my god.
Also, I just read Quicksilver too. I liked it, but I'm really excited for the book too because I feel like it'll be a lot better.
Here's what, because she did tell us it was plotted to be a 3-book series and it is now a 5-book series because there's so much more than she's exploring. So she said, really stoked.
She said book one is literally just like the intro. She's like, it is literally just the tip of the iceberg. And
because I feel like you also get to the end of it and you're like, did I just read a fucking prequel? Oh my god, because it feels exactly so prequel in the hindsight.
All right, I'm gonna bring us back.
Yes.
Sorry. If you were writing book four, Rebecca was like, shit, I can't finish this, you gotta do it for me please, and I'm not gonna tell you how to do it, you can figure it out yourself. How are you gonna cure Zayden? Or are you not going to cure him at all? And I want to quickly just say what I think should be done. And I'm like, I don't know why they haven't tried this. Why don't they try extracting Andarna's blood and then mixing it with the blood of a relative of Zayden and then injecting Zayden with it? Why haven't we tried science? That
seems very scientific and not enough magic.
Well, we could magic it too if we need to. Like, maybe some magic,
like Elekanam and Namen Akshima. Like, that is some alphabet drop shit that you're talking about doing over that blood magic. Like,
we know that the ability to change is in Andarna. Why aren't we testing her blood type?
I see where you're going.
I never thought of that.
Nicole had a really cool idea the other day when it comes to Andarna's dragon
eggshells.
Nicole's
like, what?
I was like, I don't remember this. Oh, yes.
Dragon eggshells.
So when we're in Devarelli, Violet gives Andarna's dragon eggshell to the King of Cortland. The King of Devarelli, King Cortland. Wow. And I've read this book, I promise. And in the process of unveiling the dragon eggshell, she notes how there's like this hum of magic in it still. And that's not out of the question because we do know that dragon eggshells, the metallicness of it does keep magic in it for a long time. So one of the things that I started thinking of was, we know that alloy in Alloy Hilted Daggers, which are the Venom Killers, are made of taladium, a mix of other metals, and dragon eggshells. What if we mixed the Irid's dragon eggshells with alloy? What would happen to those types of daggers? Would they be able to be like extra venom killers? Would they be extra superpowered or something like that? I don't know. I don't think it's along the lines of a cure. I think it would be along the lines of like extra another super ingredient. Another ingredient.
If we look at the history of curing people who've been turned into vampires, it is always by staking them with a different material that's been magicked in a different way that they
white healed. Oak ash.
Yeah, like, or like if we go to Vampire Academy, like it's like the spirit power in a steak. So you never know. But wait, okay, hold on. I really want Violet to be pregnant. And I really want
a pregnancy trope.
No, not for the trope. Because they need a blood relative with like her and his like DNA to put like the placenta into the vaccine.
I feel like this civilization is not there yet.
Okay, I was also trying to figure out what year they're on. Are they like, does it say? Are they the year 800 or something?
No, there's 633.
AU, but that's their
timeline
after unification. So,
but they don't even have guns, and they don't have any of that.
It's not
well,
that kind of world.
But they have plumbing and stuff like that.
They have healers.
Do they have electricity, or is that like magic?
It's magic. So it's magic light. So it's any like burnt any magic that's like radiating off of magic people is being used into lights.
Mage vaccines.
That sounds like a great conversation to have with Nolan and Winifred. There we go.
Nolan's wife.
Nolan. Yeah. I curse Rebecca for putting Naolin and Nolan in the same
literally. Book. And then King Corden and then Corden.
Oh my God.
Why?
And what is that? Llewellyn and Llewellyn? Why is there a Llewellyn the country and a Llewellyn?
Llewellyn and Lindell. Yes.
Okay. So I can explain that. So Llewellyn is like, it's like House Llewellyn, just like House Ryerson, but it is, his city is as well Llewellyn. So it is Llewellyn of Llewellyn.
Why do they call him Llewellyn?
Because his name is Llewellyn.
The Targaryens and
exactly.
This is so
cool. Nicole Llewellyn right there.
Yeah, Llewellyn. So it is a place and a person.
It just makes it very confusing in the audiobook.
And then Lindell is of a different city in the Tirindor province. So he is like under Llewellyn. He reports to Llewellyn.
Is that his first name or his last name?
Last name?
I'd say last name.
I would say last
name. What if his name was Llewellyn names. Llewellyn of Llewellyn?
I'd have conversations with his parents at that point. I'd be like, why?
Bring it back to the cure.
Yes.
So,
Lexi, what do you think?
Or do you not cure him?
I would cure him. I think that there is too much foreshadowing and too much searching for the cure, too many Easter eggs that we will get a cure. I really like to think that Andarna's kind will have something to do with it. However, I don't think that it is going to be nearly so black and white of like something from them cures the venom. I also love the, like, you got to think about how magic likes all things in balance. And so the reason that you become venom in the first place is that you pull from a source that is not yours to pull from. And so I have to wonder, like, there is, you know, like pulling from the ground. There is a fantastic theory by Emily's theories on Instagram where if you like how she thinks that the Irids are pulling from the sky. So they are magic because they pull from a different power source, unlike the other dragons and the venom and such. And so if a venom, like, that could be towards the cure. I don't know if I'm quite like pulling from the sky is going to be like that. I think that it does come down to something about the soul. I think of the goddess of love too, Loyal, and I'm a little bit all over the place here, so I don't have an actual thing, but I'm just throwing spaghetti at the wall here. So there's you know, a lifetime of dedication to, or lifetime of service, doesn't have to be a dedication, to two of the gods. One is Dune and the other is Loyal, because the goddess of war, and because war and love changed the heart irrevocably. Yeah. I can't say that word. And so so I have to wonder if, because Violet has been dedicated to Dune, maybe there's something with this goddess of love that will help Zayden, because the gods are playing such a larger role there. So, and that's something to do with like his soul. And I don't know. I don't know. Obviously, I have no idea, but I'm just spitting out ideas.
I like where you're going with him being, I'm going to call it, dedicated to Loyal in a way, and that somehow saves his soul. Like, for instance, we know that Dune curses those who turn, like she did Theophany, and thus Theophany was killed by the wrath of Dune. What if Loyal is a less wrathful goddess, and so maybe she helps turn Zayden? I agree with you. I don't think it's gonna be that black and white, but I could see that being the element of it. I've been open about how I wouldn't cure him, but if I had to cure him, I'd go down that road. But it's not that I don't want him to be happy. Too.
Like, I want the Irids to have something to do with it as well. But also, they say, they very explicitly say there is no cure. So I do think that they don't know that there is a cure, and it's not like they're like lying.
It has
to
do with them.
But they did also, they were asked several times by our crew about how to defeat the venom, and I read that so many times, and they very explicitly do not answer the question. So I think they might be a little bit more towards defeating the venom, and the god / goddesses might be more towards curing.
I want to think that the soul isn't legitimately what's happening when they're like, well, you're losing your soul. Maybe like parts of your brain are shut down that like feel emotion, but I don't want to, like, I think maybe that's what they've been led to believe all these years through just like looking and observing, but maybe there's more to it than that. And it's not like you're actually getting your soul eaten away, but rather something else is happening, and that'll be why he can come back. Because if you come back without a soul, it's not the same.
Exactly. Where it's like, or what is the cost going to be for him to come back? Because again, magic likes all things in balance. So what are they going to give to get that potentially back?
Okay, wait, theory time then.
Yes.
What if he has to cost the life of his dragon? So his other power source. And Rebecca has been very clear that she is not above killing dragons, as we saw with Day and Fourthwing. What if he has to kill Sigale, and that's what
he wouldn't do it.
He would never do that. I'm sorry, Natasha. Sigale, what was your theory before? I whopped in with that.
That's okay. That brings me back to Avengers Endgame when Hawkeye and Black Widow they have to jump and figure out. And I feel like if that were the case,
they would have a jumping war.
Yeah.
No, if that were the case, Sigale would sacrifice herself for Zayden. Mm. I think.
Yeah.
But then that would start a chain reaction. Well, if the bonds weren't broken, of Taryn dying and everyone else dying in that whole.
I don't think that situation will present itself specifically, but I do see like a sacrificial sort of choice.
Christine just did a fun theory. So we have a saying where it's like we hear something that's a little bit out there. It's like, that's a fun theory.
On episode five, I bring up three theories and I'm pretty sure every single one, Lexi goes, that's a fun theory.
Siphoning
too much. Like, I don't think she would do that to us.
I think she's above hurting us.
I think she would hurt us in another way, but hurting us with a puppy murdered is too hard.
She has said that she will not kill broccoli because it's like killing a puppy. But she wouldn't kill a cat.
It's like killing a puppy too.
Yeah, she's like, I wouldn't kill a cat. And it's
but
like,
she did say dragons.
She's
are
like,
fine.
Oh, I kill those. Yeah, I can kill
and
those.
And we do know that next book, someone we love is going to not make it. Which I take as a dragon, in my opinion.
I'm worried for Riddick.
My mind, like, on all of this, like, goes to, is the end game eradicating all venom? Because if you find a cure, are you going to bring everyone out of venomism? Because then I think about Star Wars and how there's, the light and the dark and the Sith. But there's also, like, well, the Sith is like a religion. And, like, is venom a religion? Like, do they have their other
god? Cult-like.
It is very cult-like.
Quite cult-like.
Or there's, there's also light and dark in the Star Wars realm where you don't necessarily have to be Sith and you don't necessarily have to be a Jedi, but you can be of those within the balance of the Force. Are we going to see then maybe the eradication of like the Venom cult and then bring forth a more balanced life because, we can't eradicate all that evil. Yeah.
Well,
but
won't have as powerful riders either.
I don't know. That's where my mind was going in all of that.
Yeah.
Because there needs to be a balance for the riders, right?
Yeah.
If they're having Cygnus.
For instance, can a world live without Venom? Like, is that even possible? And I don't know. That's so interesting.
That's going to haunt me for a year and a half. Thank you very much.
cool.
Yeah, that's, oh gosh, because it's like that would always exist. Like the ability to turn venom would always technically
exist. It's always going to be there. Yeah. So then how do we stop that from happening?
Or how do we stop them from being evil? Maybe, right?
Evil. But like, I mean, if you take too much power, it's a very slippery slope. Yeah. Then will, like, at the very end of the season, will there even be dragon riders? Like, will that even if that's the ultimate goal?
Yeah, the Irrits don't want any powers. That's what they need for peace.
Because the only reason why magic exists is if you pair a human with a dragon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are they the cause of everything, actually?
Well, that goes back to the Fables of the Barons, where it is like they demonize dragons, where it is,
very, very interesting.
My brain just dial tone. I was like, I have no idea.
See, I stay quiet for a while, but my mind just goes like, whoa, 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 whoa.
All right. We're getting to our end of our time, and I really want to rename the series together. Do you want me to start? I have a few names.
Please. I need time to think.
Yes.
All right.
This can be a group project.
Oh, thank God.
I know. I was like, I don't know where to go from here.
I have Fourth Wing, really hot riders in love. Violet, we're going down Zayden, that route. Fall in love. War College Chronicles. Dragon Academy.
Ooh.
I think Dragon Academy is the Vampire Academy title for this series. Violet and the Armoire.
You know, like the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe? That feels like the Dragon Rider, the Lightning Wielder, and the Armoire.
Yes!
All right, those are mine for Fourth Wing. What would you like call it?
Bezgaiath, the Dragon.
Baddies.
I'm going off of Narnia.
Okay.
It goes, it's Narnia, the Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, right?
Yeah, yeah,
so it's
yeah.
Bezgaiath, the Dragon Rider, and the Shadow Armoire. Daddy, and the Armoire.
Yes. Like, I want to say, like, fly or die, but that doesn't count because that's totally the slogan anyway.
That's not original at all. Yeah.
I'm trying to think, like, what are the themes of each of the books? Like, book one is what the fuck? Book two is what the fuck do I know? And book three is shut the fuck up, I feel like.
Yeah. Those are, like, these are a little vague sold. For marketing purposes.
Something about, like, signets or, yeah, like.
Yeah, like, it could be, like. Lightning could be the first one,
yeah.
And the second, or lightning and shadows. The second one could be about.
Yeah, well, if we want to go like the YA, like shadows, it has to be right. In there.
I was even going like a court of shadows and lightning, like if we're going the ACOTAR route.
Yeah, for Iron Flame, I have a song of light and shadows. As
okay,
my
yeah.
Ooh, or Violet and Vaden of... never get to see each other.
For, that would be like secrets and shadows.
Secrets and shadows. Yes.
Or apparently I'm just very blunt. It's like, what's my second signet? Like, that's the game show of Iron Flame.
The Shadow King could be
okay. Ever King, LJ Andrews. I like that. Okay.
Natasha has something cooking over there. I'm trying to go off of like silver, like a song of silver and darkness or something like that.
How about like if we're going iridescent without going into the word irids, because with book two it's very Undarna coming into her own. It's the big drop of the mm-hmm. seventh breed at the end. So it could be a court of silver and I'm gonna shimmer feels too Taylor Swift.
Ooh.
But like all I think of is like I can make the whole place shimmer. Like that's all I hear.
Mm-hmm. I have another one. Torture Time. I feel like it really encompasses the whole book.
Okay, I just played Mario Party the other night with my husband and our two in-laws, and one of the games in there is called Chance Time, and so all I hear is Torture Time, which is not right.
Okay, book three, Onyx Storm. We could call it Irid Hunters.
Oh, Irid Hunters works.
Ooh. I think of that like Steve Irwin, like, and he is. I'm not gonna do it. Australian accent.
I also have The Edge of Venom or Venom Edging.
Oh, kinky. That's sexual.
I like that one.
Do you guys like violence or silver one better?
Violence.
I think sorry. Violence.
I'm violence.
Silver one. Yeah. I like silver one more too. Yeah.
Me like say Adam wearing a silver one shirt.
Yeah. It gives like older man saying it like silver one. Like you hear like, it.
I'd rather Zaddy say that. Like I would rather a Zaddy saying for me.
If Zayden called her silver one, I'd be like, bish, I'm a grown up.
Well, like if he said like my silver one,
that sounds just like little though, doesn't it?
Like no, it sounds like it's his one and only.
I wouldn't want if my one and only called me that. I'd be like no.
And your one and only called you violence.
Yeah, I'd be like yes.
Like I think violence works well for Fourth Wing, but once when they got into like now when he calls her love, like that just melts me heart.
I know it is not original,
but it is just like there, like that just
it's
works
the
so
sweetest.
Well.
Yes.
That's it.
Yes. It's just like an oxymoron to hear Zayden say love as
yes,
like, and it's just so nice.
My husband heard how much I was swooning over Zayden when he called her love in Onyx Storm, and so he started calling me love in real life, and I was like, I love a man who takes notes.
It's giving British, and it's so beautiful.
I just realized that there's so many colors involved in Fourth
Iron
Wing.
Flame, Onyx Storm.
Well, Violet,
ooh, six,
Silver.
Sorry, I was thinking numbers there too. Like the six, number six or seven.
Six is so, okay, so this is something I'm literally about to start a six watch on the show because six keeps coming up over and over again. Like from last book to now. And then it's like every single time it's six turning into seven.
Yeah, it's actually seven. Yeah.
So I did a little bit of research and I was like, why is this a thing? Six in, I'm not a very religious person, so I had the to look up a number. Lot of it. Yeah. Well, so six means a lot of like incomplete, imperfection, the devil, which one of these things is not like the other. And then with seven, it's holistic. It's all encompassing. It's being that whole self. And so I love the idea that it's incomplete turning into whole. So I think that's really cool.
Okay. Let's project titles for book four. Or did you have a book three? Did anyone have a book three that they didn't get to say?
I was going to say A Wrath of Silver and Violence.
Oh, I like that. Ooh, yeah. Okay. Yes. I'd read that book. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Book four.
Book four.
Book four. I have Duchess of Venin.
Violet Sorengale Venin Hunter.
I think about like royalty.
And I have Iridescent Hurricane.
Ooh.
If Theophany was still alive, that would be the go-to.
I think it has to be something with red, right?
Bloodshot Venom. Baron. That's another one of the ones I have.
Oh.
Ooh, yeah.
Bloodbath. Blood.
That's dark. Buy Bloodbath now. Available everywhere.
Something with like
blood
wrath.
Blood wrath.
I like that. I like search. Search.
One more.
Silver search. That sounds too much like Silver Surf. And then I just think we're back in the Isle.
Silver Surfer.
That's book three because of the Isle Kingdoms.
Fury Search. I'm literally just looking at my bookshelf.
I would love if it was just called like Zayden Gets the Cure.
And then he doesn't at the end and we're like, Rebecca. Fuck. Yeah. The Broken Compass.
Broken Compass.
Broken Luck.
Wait, what about Zanel's Zealots?
Blood Brothers.
Blood Brothers would actually work pretty well.
Blood Brothers would work.
It's giving Vampire Diaries.
I am so bad at this.
I know. I'm trying to go off of like Fourth Wing, Iron Flame, Onyx Storm. And like the last two have been like two syllables, one syllable. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, what would be another two syllable silver?
Like, taking this too seriously.
Well, now I'm like Silver Skies. Like,
my brain goes.
Silver Skies actually being the. Because we know it's going to start with a silver tie or a silver top of the book, and then it's going to fade into another color, which I think is going to be red. I'm not sure.
Ooh.
But,
I think it could be more white, turning more and more white.
Oh, so you think like a silver would turn white?
Oh, well, you know that there's also a theory out there that Violet's hair is completely silver now, too.
What?
Wait, how? Why?
Because at the very end of the book, there's no particular reason behind it, but that something happened in the 12 hours that made her hair go completely silver. Like, she's fully dedicated now. And in the Variety article that recently came out, that was one of the questions was, you know, is her hair fully silver now? And Rebecca's response was, interesting. Which I'm going to take as a no, that's not it. But you never know with her.
Let me just send you on a theory spree.
Would she have had to go to the temple and fully dedicated herself?
Well, so that's why they got married. She's finally fulfilled like her destiny. We have no idea. I don't know. So
I don't know.
I feel like Brennan would be like,
we don't know anything.
I feel like Brennan would pay more attention to his sister's fully silver hair than a ring on her finger.
Yeah, that is a good point. I agree with that. Yeah.
Do we like the theory about the Venin being like dedicated to Malik?
I do.
I like that theory a lot.
I think I'm actually getting into that next episode, Lex. I'm really excited.
Oh, you are?
It's either next episode or the episode. No, it's when we meet the Irid, so it's next episode. Episode after. Never mind.
Last question here before we wrap up and do Marika's Cliff. If you couldn't be with Zayden, who's your Empyrean series runner-up love interest, y'all?
I'm
Eric.
ooh, that's a good one. Yeah.
Eric.
Not Garrick, Eric.
Oh, Garrick.
Arik. Sorry.
No, you're good.
You confused all of us.
Sweet. I'm sorry.
So it's funny because like I'm pretty much married to Riddick. Like my husband is so like he's so funny, but then like he gets, you know, he can be serious when he needs to be and all of that. And like I'm just married to Riddick. But ooh, Arik would probably be up there too. Garrick would be another top contender, but Arik or Riddick.
Arik does seem very hot. Like, he just gives off, like, sexy vibes.
He does. I think I need someone more animated than Arik. I think Arik's a little too stoic for me. So I need someone who has a little bit more, like, oomph behind him. But I don't know if I need as much oomph as Riddick has to offer. Because eventually I'd just be like, I'm not in the mood for jokes. And I would just kill the mood. So
yes,
I
kind of like what happens.
Bodhi maybe, but Bodhi's constantly not thinking he's good enough, and I don't know if I can be with someone who needs to go to therapy pretty badly.
I feel like I don't know him well enough. Like, who are you, Bodhi?
I know. I don't think Bodhi knows Bodhi well enough. I think Bodhi needs some serious introspection. There you go, Garrick. Yeah, I think I would lean Garrick, but after his fuckboy era, I need Garrick who's not a fuckboy because I can't do that again. I went through my 20s. I'm done.
See, I think Riddick is exiting his fuckboy era.
Oh.
And I feel like he's gone through a lot of character development in Onyx Storm, and if he's won me over, I'd pick him out.
I can vibe with that.
Yep. Natasha, have you liked Arik from the very beginning?
I think so.
Arik is pretty great.
I mean, I also like Garrick is hot too, but I mean, it's always been Zayden. There was.
Yeah.
I was reading Onyx Storm like literally in the midst of ovulating, and. I got so weepy, and like I was just like, I just want a Zayden in my life.
I got the same way while reading it. Like, he's so wonderful in Otter Storm. Like, I need him. I'll throw out another that I think I would immediately go for is Rhee. Rhee and I would be really good
she's
together.
Great.
She's fabulous. Love Rhee. Yeah. Actually, I think I'm changing my answer. Rhee before Garrick. I think Rhee and I would be better together.
Nice.
Be a scary duo. And like, they're like, oh my gosh, like they are the most productive people I've ever met in my entire life.
That sounds so hot.
I would also, like, if I was going to go for a girly pop, I would go for Kat.
Oh,
yeah, dark.
Dark. You guys would be match. Twins, basically. Yeah.
Oh yeah. My God. I was about to be like, "Are you
this is like?
Are you
Renee
okay?
Do you need someone to college girls?"
Oh my God,
she needs some love. She needs
I know.
Especially
I
after
want her
poor Trigger. Yeah.
She does. It was really upsetting. I was just realizing as I was rereading Onyx Storm, I was picturing Arik as like. A baby first year that was like short.
Okay,
no,
same.
He's huge.
I know. I've been picturing that for so long until like Violet mentions he's almost as tall as Zayden. And like he's built as Garrick or something. I don't think it says Garrick. I think it says someone. But Dane. It's as Dane. He's as wide as Dane and like built as Dane. And I was like, that is not how I pictured you in my mind.
Oh, that's how I'm always like, oh my gosh. Oh, yeah. Like,
he is a young Henry Cavill.
Yes.
In my mind.
Okay, don't change my answer again. Can't say Henry Cavill and expect me not to immediately change my answer. I've watched The Witcher. Good Lord.
Or like Tom Welling. He's more like the sweet boy like Tom Welling from Smallville.
Oh, okay. I could see that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I like Tom Welling as him a lot, actually. Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to move on into Mirror Kiss Cliff. All right.
This is mine.
Yeah, this is yours. I was like, wait, who are these?
We're going to do the badass bitches. Theophany, Amarantha, and Cersei Lannister. Who are you going to marry? Who are you going to kiss?
Ew, I hate these people.
Okay, when you say cliff, is cliff like push off a cliff?
Yeah,
you die. Amarantha. Like, no, literally no question in my mind. I hate that bitch. Oh, my God.
Wait, you want to date Theophany with her?
Oh, no, I would marry Theophany. I would kiss Cersei. I would marry Theophany in a heartbeat.
Oh, my God. I don't know. I mean, maybe I have to, too, because I'm not fucking marrying Cersei Lannister. That bitch is gonna kill me in my sleep.
I was just gonna, because at first I was like, oh, like she loves her children. Maybe I would marry her.
Oh my God.
No,
that's the only good quality about her.
Yeah, she would kill me. So I can't marry her. I don't think I'd want to.
I think Theophany's pretty loyal.
Fine. I'll marry her too.
I think I would actually marry Theophany as well. I would. Like, I would probably marry Theophany.
I'm probably going to marry Theophany too.
I feel so validated.
Waking up
right
in the
now.
Morning It's going to be so scary though. You like open your eyes and they're like beat red over there. With the-
but she's also like, for instance, like she's like, I'll, like you can keep both your dragons. Like I just want to mentor you. She'd be like,
you can braid
you know?
My hair.
Yeah. Like I,
like, I love a mentor mentee trope. You know, that's great. Amarantha would twist your mind into just craziness. So she would just like fuck with you sideways. Like,
every day, Theophany would be like, you want to come and turn with me, Perfania?
Oh, I would turn for Theophany.
Oh, Amarantha and Cersei, that's quick. The one that's really tripping me up right now, though, because I, you know, I would probably, I think I'd have to kill Amarantha and sleep with Cersei, I guess so. Yeah, we'd probably start to get really drunk beforehand.
Oh,
she
God.
Likes wine.
She does.
I can't stand Cersei, so I'm cliffing her, and I'm going to kiss Amarantha, because I think that's going to be hot.
Here's the deal. If Rhys could do it for 50 years, against his will, nonetheless, but, you know.
And didn't die.
Yeah. And didn't die.
I was,
that's,
I wouldn't put it past Cersei to stab you when she kisses you. Mm-hmm.
That's true. But same She's with scary. Amarantha, though.
And also, like, but Cersei's words are so biting. Like, she would just.
She's so mean.
She would just.
She'd be a really good, like, you know, what's that kink in bed where it's like they just like completely destroy
dominatrix.
You. She would be a dominatrix. And I'm not gonna lie, that's a little scary. I'd be a little scared.
It's called like
degrading. Like mother
degrading. Thank you. It's the degrading kink. Thank you. She'd be really good at the degrading kink.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, she made Joffrey.
Yeah.
Joffrey had very bad.
Well, that's
violent.
Because she's. Had sex with her twin brother. So.
Yeah, that's how that
She's
went
a mess.
Bad. Yep.
The whole family's a mess.
Years of incest.
Incest.
See, this is why Theophany is at least a good choice. It feels like she's not.
she's really
she's
the golden
a whole lot
girl.
Of baggage with her.
The golden girl of this group. She's like,
too bad they're all dead.
Oh, sad.
All right. Well, that is going to be our show today. Thank you both so much for coming. This was so fun.
Oh my gosh.
Thank you so much
for
having us. Thank you. It was so much fun just to like talk in totally different ways than we usually do about Onyx Storm.
Yes.
It's so much fun.
Thank you.
Glad. And can you tell everyone where to find you? I mean, obviously Fantasy Fangirls podcast.
Yes. So we are very, very active on social media, TikTok and Instagram at Fantasy Fangirls Pod. We are also on YouTube at Fantasy Fangirls, website, fantasyfangirls.com, just Fantasy Fangirls, plug it in and you'll find us.
Yes.
So yeah, on all podcasting platforms, new episodes every Monday. And yeah.
And we are currently in the middle of our deep dive of Onyx Storm, where we basically go chapter by chapter and talk about it far more in depth than anyone should. Here we are. We made a career out of it, yep, so we're doing it.
And then in May, we are going to be beginning our deep dive of the Kindred's Curse Saga by Penn Cole, starting with Spark of the Everflame. So,
Where are you guys, what event are you guys going to next?
We actually don't have one for a second. We are working on getting a live show in the States for the summertime, but we don't have any details on that quite yet. But we will be at Enchanticon in St. Louis.
Nice.
Yeah, I know that you all are very familiar with Mischief Managed as well, so we're so excited.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I love them so much. So we will be there. And then right after that, we will be at the Dragon Gauntlet in
The Everflame Ball.
Yes, in the Everflame ball in between that, and then Dragon Gauntlet in September in Michigan, and then we will be back at Romanacy BookCon in Orlando, Florida in October.
Well, we will be linking the Fantasy Fangirls in the show notes, so y'all can find them super easy if you haven't already. Thank you all so much for being here with us. Our show is edited by Emma Burton and Vigard and Natasha Polis and Christine Riccio, and the music is by Cole Jenkins, and vocals are by Heather Trasker. Our socials are run by Chloe Laverson. Make sure you're following us on Instagram at Those Forking Fangirls, TikTok at Those Forking Fangirls, and of course youtube.com/@thoseforkingfangirls. Thank you all so much, and we'll see everybody next time. Our show comes out every Friday. Why am I forgetting what I say?
every Friday
and we're off to record Fangirl Tea Time. Bye everybody.